imagine being at the banquet of the King of Kings and we're not happy? Come on, when God is preparing this banquet for his people, I want to walk into heaven, go sit down at the seat that I'm assigned, and have a laugh. I want to have joy. I want to see the joy, the glory of the Lord. I want to enjoy joy here on earth, and I want to have joy in heaven. And I love the word my sister gave this morning. Joy means Jesus on you. Do you have Jesus on you this morning? Do you have Jesus all over you? Do you have Jesus in you? Is he around you? Does he talk to you and talks to you and talks to you? Does he tell you that you are his own? It's a wonderful thing. Sometimes when I walk into my room where I keep my clothes, I say, Lord, what should I wear? And he always chooses great colors. You know, he chooses things for me because I allow him into every dimension of my life. Lord, what should I give today? What should I do today? Because I want him to be a part of my life. And I want you to invite him to be a part of your life. Don't just say, I got saved and I'm going to heaven. There is so much here on earth that he wants to do in us, through us, walks with us, talks with us. He gives good advice. He's a great counselor. He shakes us up when we need to be shaken. He awakens up when we need to be awake. He is good. He is good. He is good. How many times do I tell you God is good? Because I believe it. God is good all the time, even when he is disciplining us. And that's what I want to talk to you about, is when God is disciplining us. Because it doesn't feel good, you know, when we're being disciplined. It doesn't feel good when we have to say no to certain friendships or relationships. Something, things we want to do or things we want to say doesn't seem good at the time. But the Lord knows. The Lord knows what's up ahead. The Lord knows what's going to happen. The Lord knows. So we need to trust him fully. Are you trusting him tomorrow, April 28th? What happens tomorrow? Are you trusting him that his will prevail? Are you trusting him that his mandate of heaven will prevail? Are you trusting him? Because I know there's a lot of anxious people and we have anxieties and we don't know what's going to happen. And you know, we question and we doubt, but the Lord says, trust me. You may not understand now, but later on you will understand. So we need to trust the Lord and put our faith in him, for he knows what's going on. He knows what's going on in boardrooms and election rooms. He knows. He knows all. Everything is laid bare before him. Everything is laid bare before him. We don't need to question. We don't need to ask again. He knows what's going on. And even though men may meet in back rooms and make deals, God knows. There is nothing hidden from him. Nothing. So be aware when you're walking down the street and you make a comment about someone, or when someone almost hits your car and you make a comment, be aware God knows all, sees all, and he knows our heart. So repent quickly. Repent quickly. He knows all. Praise you, Lord. I want to talk to you a little bit about discipline this morning. I want to talk to you about the way of discipline. And the goodness of discipline. For there is nothing that we dream about. There's nothing that we want to do. There's no vision that we have in our lives that will come to pass unless we are disciplined. You see, Pastor Patty and Pastor Alex had to be disciplined when Dr. Russ called them and said, we want you to be the head of the church in Hamilton. It required discipline. It required prayer. It required saying no to those good things you want to do. It required being holy and set apart. Whatever we're called to do requires discipline. We cannot receive that degree without discipline, that special job without discipline. We will not see it unless we are willing to do the work. And I have lots of testimonies that I could share about what it is to be disciplined by the Lord, to be disciplined in prayer, to be disciplined when people call and say, Anne-Marie, let's go here or let's go there. And I say, but I have to go and pray. I have to meet some people on Zoom. We're praying today about this or we're praying about that. I had to learn to be disciplined. I had to learn the way of discipline. It's gonna hurt. Even when it's time to tithe, when it's time to sow, I had to learn. Because many years ago, I thought there's no way my income is going to produce 10%. How is this going to happen? What does God expect from me? And I began to realize without discipline, I would never see the goodness of the Lord. We have to be disciplined in every area of our lives. Even as JJ talked about the ministries that are happening, the events that are happening, the open doors that are happening. Unless we are disciplined, we will not see the success. Unless we're willing to change who we are and how we do things to be how God wants us to be, we will never see the success. Or hear of the goodness of the Lord. I could not stand here today unless I learned discipline in my prayer life, discipline in reading the Word, discipline in understanding it. There is no shortcut. Unless we are willing to allow the Lord to move us into new realms of glory with Him, we will not see His goodness in the lives of our children, our home. It requires discipline. Everything does. I cannot be wishy-washy. I'm going to show up this Sunday, and I may not show up for the next two. I cannot be wishy-washy in how I treat my leaders, those who are in authority above me, require something of me. Let me read a scripture for you this morning. We're going to start out reading Exodus 23, if we could put that on the board. And I usually use the NIV. So Exodus 23, we'll start from 27 to 31. Ready? It says, I will send my terror ahead of you and throw into confusion every nation you encounter. I will make all your enemies turn their backs and run. I will send the hornet ahead of you to drive the Hivites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, out of your way. But I will not drive them out in a single year, because the land would become desolate and the wild animals too numerous for you. What does he say? Little by little. Say that with me. Little by little. I will drive them out before you, until you have increased enough to take possession of the land. He says, I will establish your borders from the Red Sea to the Mediterranean Sea, and from the desert to the Euphrates River. I will give into your hands the people who live in the land, and you will drive, and I will drive them out before you. This was the promise the Lord made to his children who fled Egypt, and they were on their way to their promised land. Little by little, he said, I will drive out your enemies. That means poverty. That means lack. That means poor relationships. That means the neighbor who's been harassing you. He says, little by little, I will drive them out. Business dealings that don't work. Partners that steal from you. Relationships that undermine your will and those things you want happening in the lives of not only you, but your children. Little by little, I will drive them out. He doesn't say, I'm going to wave my magic wand and all your problems are over. See, that's what we want. I mean, I would love that. But to have to work through the process, well, that takes discipline. To have to work through the time frame that God has set for our breakthrough, well, that takes discipline. I would love for him to do the magic wand thing. Everything is done. Your bank account is now full. You don't have to work anymore. You're good. Yes, Lord, that's how we want it. And then I'm going to celebrate. But the Lord has his way of doing things, his way of being just, right, and fair. The Lord is just, he is right, and he is fair. I will send my terror ahead of you and throw into confusion every nation you encounter. That means for you and for your children, the Lord is already working out the people who are in their way. He's already deciding how he's going to do it, how he's going to send them on their way. And the position that you wanted at work, the employment that you wanted, that somebody took, the Lord's already deciding, I'm going to be taking them out. But in the process, I need to build your character. In the process, I need to heal you. In the process, I need to cause you to trust me above all that you see. In the process, I need to discipline you. I need you to come to me. Certain times of the day, whenever the Lord is calling you, I usually have different times of the day where I pray, where I seek his face. And if I choose to do something else, let me tell you, it feels a little weird because I know where I'm supposed to be. I'm supposed to be in the presence of the Lord. While the Lord is driving out the inhabitants in your land, he is teaching us how to follow his will. How to follow his way. We are learning. We are being disciplined. That's why when we get up on Sundays, we know what we're supposed to do. Saturday night, we already know where I'm going to be Sunday morning. Well, you know what? That took discipline. It was the discipline of the Holy Spirit that brought you to this place where you came to be fed on Sundays, where you came to be fed Wednesday nights or Thursday nights. And there was a desire to do it. All of that is birthed out of discipline. If the Lord has called you to be a prayer warrior, you're not going to be a prayer warrior when you show up for prayer once every 6 months. When you decide to talk to the Lord, only when you need help. If you want to earn a degree and become a doctor, you're not going to earn that degree unless there is discipline, there is constant study, there is constant saying no to this friend or no to that circumstance so that you can study. Study to show yourselves approved unto God. unless we're willing to be disciplined by Holy Spirit, we will not achieve our goal. We will not achieve that which we imagine. We all have a great imagination. We all have a great vision for our life. I remember many years seeing my son sit upstairs in that office, and I would say, do you want to go see a movie? Mom, I have to study. Do you want to go out for ice cream? No, Mom, I have to study. Do you want to go visit Grandma? No, I have to study. That was someone that understood. For me to reach my destiny, for me to get to the next place in my life, I have to be disciplined. And I missed him. I missed our times together. I am telling you, people of God, there is something that the Lord has put inside of you. There is a vision that you have. There, your imagination runs wild, and you think passionately of what I will be when I finish writing that book, the place I will be when I sing that song, when I write that song, when I run that business, when I own that house. We have great things we imagine, but without discipline, it will never be achieved. And we cannot wait for someone else to come and do it for us. Our imagination is something beautiful that the Lord gave us. I still have great things that I imagine. I have great assignments that I imagine that I will do. But without discipline, all of my paperwork, all of my research is just sitting there on the desk. Without discipline, I can't be the best baker. I can't be the best cook. Even chefs, bakers, all of those people, it requires discipline. Because I love to watch the Food Network and see the great creations they make. Well, do you know that just doesn't happen? It requires discipline. When I hear the intercessors praying in the morning and then praying in the evening and how they show up, they show up. It requires great discipline. I want to run the race that is set before me. I want to see you receive that medal, that gold medal, that you have won this race. But we cannot do it without discipline. The Lord has laid it on my heart this morning to show you, to tell you how important it is that what's coming up requires our time. It's going to require some effort. It's going to require something of us that we never gave before. Because we can all pray for breakthrough, and Vicky can say, God, I need a breakthrough. I need a breakthrough. I need a breakthrough. But if you do nothing, if you do nothing, then when will you receive this breakthrough? If you do nothing, Jesus does not want his children to be a people who are waiting for something to happen. Do you remember years ago we were all taught Jesus is coming soon, and many Christians packed their suitcases in the spirit and pretty much left it at the front door and said, I'll wait, Jesus is coming. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to enter politics. I don't have to be a part of the government or the medical system or the education system. And we allowed the enemy to come in and wipe away generations of people because we did nothing as God's people. And now our generation is finally realizing, without my hand to the plow, that person may not be saved. Without me praying for my coworker, they will never know the Lord. Without me giving some food to someone who's broken, they will starve. Discipline. We must do something. Whatever the Lord has given us in our imagination, maybe we want to be Mother Teresa and we want to help the broken children and we want to feed them. If we do nothing, it will not be done. Those things that we imagine, the visions that we have, the Lord gave it to each of us specifically to do. And if we don't do it, we leave a void. We leave an empty place. If my beautiful friend Iris didn't go into her kitchen in the evening and pull out that recipe book with all the notes on it and all the little pages, you should see a recipe book. She can make you anything, but it requires discipline. Your gifts will make room for you, but you must first use your gifts. Are you gifted at writing? Are you gifted at working with children? Are you gifting at parking cars? Are you gifted? All of us have gifts, because when Jesus left the earth, he said, I gave gifts to men. And we have several gifts. Some of us haven't even opened them yet. But unless we begin to ask the Lord, what is my assignment? What is my gifting? What am I good at? We will never know. Some of us may be good at math. Some of us may be good in science or in sociology, in technology. But we need to apply these gifts, and that requires discipline. It requires us to click the converter and say, I'm turning off the TV. I'm going to go meet everybody at church. I'm going to go see what Vicky's doing in this evangelism that she's starting in the city. Your gifts make room for you when you show up. But I don't want to see the Lord's face knowing that I did nothing with my gifts. He's driving out the inhabitants out of our nation. He's doing it little by little so he can prepare us to lead. He can prepare us to stand in the gap. He's preparing us to stand in the gap for those who cannot do for themselves. Exodus continues on in 23. Exodus 23, 27 to 31. It says, do not let them live in your land, or they will cause you to sin against me. Listen to that word for a minute. Do not let them live in your land. In your land, whatever you possess, wherever you live, who is living in your land? Who is coming in and taking possession of your land? Is it addiction? Is it anger? Is it offense? Is it resentment? Who is coming into my land? Am I angry at my boss all the time? Am I angry at my kids all the time? Look at that scripture. Do not let them live in your land. Do you hear me, people of God? Don't allow offense to take hold in your land. Don't allow bitterness towards your husband take place in your land. Don't allow anger towards your wife to take hold in your land. They've come to steal. What do they come for? Steal, kill, and destroy. Don't allow them to take possession of your land. No matter how small or no matter how big, make sure you are managing your land. Your land could be your property. Your land could be your workplace. Your land could be your business partners. Your land could be your neighbors. Do not allow these spirits of offense, resentment, bitterness, and anger to come and take hold of what the Lord has given you. Do not allow them to live in your land, or they will cause you to sin. What? They will cause you to what? Against. They will cause you to sin against God. I look at that scripture and I know my land. I know the land that the Lord has called me to occupy. Do you know the land that you occupy? Do you know what the Lord has given you? For whether you live in an apartment, or whether you live in a house, whether you live in a two-story or three-story, that is your land. Don't allow the enemy a foothold in your land. And what has the Lord assigned you to? Are you the one that hands out the coffee in the church? Friday night, coffee night? Are you the one that sets up the projector? And are you the one that plays the music when we're in church? Are you the one that runs the sound booth? That's your land. And if you can't manage that piece of land, don't ask God to give you bigger. We are responsible for what we have been given. And if we cannot manage it, he cannot give us more. Did you hear what I said? If you have a little car, and that little car gets you back and forth to work every day, how do I manage my land in this little car? It's all I got. I'm going to make sure there's gas in it. I'm going to make sure that I'm doing all that I need to do to keep it on the road. I'm going to make sure there's oil in it so the engine doesn't seize up. And let me tell you my testimony, people of God, that happened to me. And if you laugh at me, you're gone. Pastor Patty will hear. I will tell her. But years ago, I'm telling you, do not allow these things on your land. I had this little van for me and my son. As you know, I lived my life as a single mom. You know my story. And every day, my little Nissan was a Nissan. It required back then $29.99 to put oil in it, right? Now it's like $407,000, $6 million to put oil in your... But back then, it was only $29.99. That was my land. It was my land to occupy. And that little light came on. Anne-Marie put oil in the car. $29.99. But back then, Blockbusters was open. And my kid wanted me to rent a different game for his console. And so I would think, all right, I'll postpone putting the oil in my van and I'll go rent a movie for me. I had a movie for me. I'm not giving him all my money to get his video games. And this would keep going on. The oil would come on. Put oil in me. The engine is screaming in my land. But I had other things. I wanted to have one night where I could sit with my popcorn and watch a movie. So I continued this. And I remember the day. Remember, if you tell this to anybody, Pastor Patty will hear. I remember the day that I went to my driveway. I got to take my kid to school. Sat in the car, put the key in, and all I heard was, like nothing is happening. I don't know, one of the neighbors somehow got me started and I went to the garage. And the guy said, Anne-Marie, The oil in here is so dry, it's like cement. This engine is not gonna turn over. When was the last time you put oil in your car? And I thought, well, these things happen on their own. This is my land. I'm responsible for my land. You're responsible for your land. How are you managing your land? Needless to say, my car was done, dead, finito, finish, any word you could use. The engine had died, dead, because I did not look after my land. Did you hear me? Exodus 23, 27, do not let them live in your land. What is the Lord speaking to you about? Your land that he has given you to occupy until he comes. You may not run the government. You may not run healthcare. You may not be a CEO, but you have land that he has given you. Don't allow people to come and occupy your land. It's your responsibility. Your land is your place of worship. Your land is your place where you give honor to the Lord. Your land. This is my land. The Lord gave this to me to manage. And you know who felt that way was Joseph when he was in the dungeon, in that prison for a crime he didn't commit. They honored him because they saw how he could lead even in the dungeon, even in the jail cell. God's anointing was upon him and he learned to manage his land. Even if the situation is not in my favor, the Lord has given me this land to manage and to occupy. In Deuteronomy 7, 9 to 11, it says, know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. But those who hate him, he will repay to their face by destruction. He will not be slow to repay to their face those who hate him. In my land, I honor the Lord. Out of my land, I tithe. Out of my land, I give my offering. Out of my land, I praise and glorify my God, because I know what it's like to have a land that I did not occupy. And I lost my car. I learned a lot in losing something. Do you know there are great lessons when you lose something of value? That was of value. I had no vehicle at that time. And I realized I had allowed all of this fun and all the things I wanted to occupy in my land when I should have been responsible for what the Lord had given me. Whether it was big, whether it was small, whether it was tall or short, what the Lord has given us, he gives it to us to occupy, which means we're responsible for it. And he says, I will drive out the inhabitants in your land little by little. I can't do it all at once because I'm teaching you and I'm showing you how to occupy in the land I've given you. You may not like your boss. You may not like your teacher. You may not like the store clerk that grocers your food. You may not like them, but you're in your land. And we have to have a new beginning in our land when we learn how to use the word and to use what the Lord has shown us, to use our gifts to prosper in our land. This is my land. This house of the Lord that he's giving us is our land. And we need to show up. And don't allow someone else to occupy my space. If Pastor Charlene decides she doesn't want to teach the youth today, she doesn't want them to go any further, and she'd rather go do something, she is walking away from her land. If God calls you to pray on Thursday nights with the GAP team and you decide to do anything else, you're walking away from your land. Occupy until he comes. Occupy your land, no matter how small, no matter how hard. The Lord will anoint you to manage that land until it prospers. Until it prospers. Are you learning something this morning? The Lord is driving out the inhabitants from her land. Years ago, when I gave my first message, we were all being trained by our pastor to teach and to preach, and I didn't even understand half that stuff. I used to just love watching her and think, wow, that's amazing. Wow, look what she could say. But then there was that day she came to me as I'm writing in my notebook like Vicky does, because I'm a note taker, like Joyce. I write everything, and my head's down, and I'm writing in my notebook, and she said, Anne-Marie, we're going to teach you how to preach. And I said, Anne-Marie, just keep writing. Anne-Marie, you didn't hear that. Anne-Marie, that didn't, nope, Anne-Marie. So I'm writing in my notebook, and I hear, Anne-Marie! And I keep writing. But you see, the Lord's going to call you to occupy a bigger piece of land if you are faithful in the little. Are you faithful in the little? Because he wants you to be faithful over much. Someone calls you by name and they tap you on the shoulder and they say, can you help out with the movie night, or can you help out? That is not a demotion. That is a promotion. Don't allow the enemy to tell you, I should be teaching at the front. I shouldn't be handing out coffee. That is a lie from the pit of hell. The Lord is trying to promote you, but he's got to build your character. Every time someone says to you, can you help out on Thursday night or Wednesday night or whatever, and you give attitude, that's when the Lord is showing you that's the part of you that needs healing. That's the part of you I'm working on. Because you can't occupy the space. You can't occupy this land unless I clean up the attitude. So don't be afraid when someone taps you on the shoulder to come and help to do something. Just remember, if you say no, I don't want to do it, and the attitude comes out, that's what the Lord's working on. That's the button he pushed, because he needs us to see where we're at. How can we occupy until he comes? If our attitude is all about me, all about me, I will drive out the inhabitants out of your land. I will drive out poverty. I will drive out sickness and disease. I will drive out the years the cankerworm and the moth have eaten away. But you've got to learn obedience, and we've got to learn to be disciplined. We've got to learn how to manage our land. Don't allow them to come in and take your land. Come on, let's give the Lord a praise. Don't let them take your land. No matter how big or no matter how small, it's your land, and he gave it to you. Occupy your land until he comes. Let me see if I've got a last scripture here. Hebrews 12, verse 11. It says, now, not tomorrow, not last week. It says, now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. You don't think it hurt when I lost my van? When I knew I had made so many mistakes? And you don't realize the mistake until you have lost something of value. I was making mistakes all along. I wasn't listening to Holy Spirit. Anne Marie, that's your land. I gave it to you. I wanted to have fun. Blockbuster was in my eye. That was the place. Remember Blockbuster? You guys remember it? That was the place you go Friday night to go pick out your movie and whatever. But I wasn't looking after my land. Blockbuster was my idol. You know you're laughing because you did it too. That was my idol. And I didn't care about my land until the engine seized up. Or until the light gets turned off in your home and you realize you haven't paid your light bill for 3 months. How are you occupying your land? There's no food in the fridge. Well, there's lots in the store. How are you occupying your land? What are you doing to solve the problems? See, somebody learned something. This is your land. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but it's painful. It's painful to see your kid walk out the door and say, I don't want to live here anymore. It's painful because we weren't paying attention to that which we should have on our land. Our eyes were somewhere else. Our heart was somewhere else. And then we lose something of great value. And that's the moment where we realized, I have been a tepid soldier in my land. I didn't walk around the perimeter and pray. I wasn't praying for my wife. I wasn't praying for my husband. I wasn't praying for my teenage son. And when they leave, all of a sudden you realize I have been doing wrong all along. God doesn't want us to get to that place of great loss. He's speaking to us now. Look after your land. Look after what I've given you. Even if I have to chasten you, then receive the chastening. It is not something joyful. It is painful. But nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. I didn't like being chastened by the Lord many a times and many a day. Nobody likes it. It's hard when your pastor says, you know what? We're going to sit you out of that group for a few months. You know what? We're going to take you off the worship team for a few months. Wow. And that's when we get offended. We get resentful, but we don't realize we're being chastened by the Lord. He wants something better to come out of us. He wants us to bear better fruit. So we endure the chastening. We endure the chastening when your car has to be pulled into some shop somewhere, you'll never see it again. And they said, Emery, take out everything out of your car. So that's all of that, you know, all the, you know, women use their cars as storage. The trunk is full of stuff. Let's face it. What did you think that's like when I can no longer drive my car and I had to go empty it of all my kids' basketball stuff and the baseball stuff and everything because I can no longer drive it? I allowed the enemy to occupy my land. And I lost my land. Stand up, everybody. It is easier for people to be a victim instead of being formed. We receive it as a victim. I'm a victim. I lost my van. I lost my van. I lost my van. I tell the world, God didn't look after me in my land. But he was screaming out to me many a times. It's easier for people to be a victim instead of being formed. We need process. We need to understand the process that we're going through. In simple things, we can see the process. We can see what God is refining in us. We can see what others are saying about us. Wait a minute now. Instead of taking it as an insult, there's something here that I need to change. God uses people to form us, to show us the areas of our character that needs healing. He uses people. So when those people come and they give us bad news, you know, when Joyce takes me aside and says, Emery, I got to tell you, you were really mean to your sister yesterday. Either I receive that as something that I'm being healed of, or I'm going to tell Joyce off. She's just the messenger. She's the messenger that God has sent, just like God sent David a messenger. You've killed that woman's husband so you could have her. And David could have said, get out of my palace. But he decided to receive that. I have done something wrong. God uses people to form us. And our reaction tells us we need more process. I watch my reactions now because I could fly off the handle in a second. Trust me. 0 to 100. It's gone. But I watch my reactions now, for I know God is teaching me how to occupy until he comes. God is watching our reaction and our actions. And so I have to catch myself and say, God is healing this area of my life. What area of your life is God healing? This is your land. How are you occupying your land? Do people love to come and talk to you? Do people love to come and give you a hug? Or do they feel you're unapproachable? Those are areas that we need to work on. Because we are brothers and sisters. We're going to be together and we're going to walk off this earth together into eternity. So if you don't like me now, what are you going to do when I'm there all the time? For your eternity. That's why we've got to deal with our little clicks and our little pains and our little offenses and our resentment and our hurt. Get rid of it. Don't let it occupy any more space in your land. You're people of God, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation. And so I repent because Rose has not made me my favorite dish in months. And I repent before the body of Christ for what I've been thinking about her. I can't have that resentment on my land. Is the Lord speaking to you this morning? Is the Lord speaking to you about those areas your land that he gave you to occupy. Whether it's the youth group or the children's ministry, whether it's the coffee shop or the worship team, do you resent those who lead? Do you think you can do better? Those are the things the Lord is cleaning up in our land. Lift your hands to him this morning and let Holy Spirit guide you in prayer this morning. Lift up those areas of your life where you need healing, where you need deliverance. For God doesn't want you to walk away from your land. He wants you to occupy. Occupy until he comes. Father God, we pray corporately this morning. And I thank you to Heavenly Father for this gathering of the saints, the royal priesthood, and the holy nation. And I thank you, Father God, that they hear you. They hear your heart, Father, for you are in love with your people. And you want a church without spot or wrinkle. So God, even as you have given us our land to occupy, whether it's working in the kitchen or working with the children or preaching in the pulpit, God, we are asking you to help us go through the process of change, to help us to be transformed by your word, to help us to forgive. Forgive. Forgive, forgive, and let go. God, we just thank you. We thank you that you are our righteous God, our holy God, our royal, 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 mighty God. I ask you just to wash over these people this morning. Just to wash away the dross and redeem the gold in their heart this morning. Wash away those sins of the past. Wash away the hurts of the past. Wash away any offense, resentment, bitterness towards one another. And help us to occupy our land until you come. We thank you, God. And we bless your name, and we ask you to bless Pastor Patty and Pastor Alex, even as they're making their way home. We're asking you, God, to bless them. God, we pray for the times of refreshing that you will give them for the weekend, Father, that they've spent ministering. God, we pray that they will have a restful time even on the way home. Bless them exponentially this week. And we new. And if you would like to pray, please come. We have someone who will pray with you. But for those who spent time with us today and watched, we want to thank you. We pray the Lord will bless you, that he would keep you, that he would help you to occupy the land he has given you. And I pray he'll be gracious unto you this day and this week. And may he give your household peace. God bless you. God bless you.